This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The very first good morning to you. It is the early morning show. Welcome in here on 93.7 The Fan. My name is Matt Cole. We'll be with you to about 5:40 before the Fan Morning Show pre-show. Colin Dunlap, Chris Mack, Jim Colony, the boys are all coming your way right after this, but for the next 40 minutes or so, be covering a lot of ground, and I want to start with kind of just rolling through three things to start off the show today. Came in to work today, went past PNC Park, lights were on. That's a great sign. Normally, that's the sign of summer is coming because they're preparing for the lights to be on. Normally, I see that in early April, and I get excited. But now we're in, late July, and I'm first seeing the lights still being on at PNC Park. But again, great sign and great news that, of course, baseball is on the way. But that's for the Pittsburgh Pirates, of course, playing at PNC Park. The light's not on for the Toronto Blue Jays. We know that by now. They pulled the old Lee Corso not so fast on that one. The PA Department of Health swooping in just as everybody thought that this was a done deal. We heard, later on yesterday that this was a possibility, a strong possibility. Throughout the day, was gaining more momentum. Hey, the Berg Jays are coming, the Steel Birds, the Pittsburgh Jays, whatever you wanted to call them, whatever logos were out there everybody was getting, having some fun with. I don't know if they're getting excited, but having some fun with. And then it was shot down, and you know that by now. And I'm not sure how it got that far in the process where everyone thought it was a go without checking in on all authorities, like, say, the PA Department of Health. And I'm also not sure that the ruling makes a ton of sense, to be honest with you. Partly and particularly because if you're talking about teams from other hotspots coming into the state, and I know that was cited as one of the reasons why this isn't happening, I look across to the other side of the state in Philadelphia where they already have other NL East teams coming in to play the Phillies. One of those being the Miami Marlins, and Miami being a hotspot right now in the country. So the logic there kind of falls for me. And maybe it's just because they don't want that going into two different spots in the state or more frequency. Okay, I get that, but it's already going to happen. But whatever, it's not the end of the world. But I think it's okay to be disappointed that it didn't happen. I saw a lot of people on social media, and of course, that's, the land of the overreaction, and the land of just being mean to each other in general, to be honest with you. But I saw that people were like, well, why did people even get excited anyway? Because we're not going to see these games. It's not like you can go to Blue Jays games, and it doesn't even matter in the end. Okay, fine. But it would have been a boost to the local economy, and it would have been a cool connection. What's wrong with wanting to see that? Something that we don't see every day is a team just coming in and using your ballpark in times that are just weird and, in a season that's only 60 games. I mean, it would have been a cool thing, and it's okay to be a little bit disappointed in it, that it didn't happen, I think. And again, No, it's not the end of the world. Also, to start the show today, Chase Claypool, I saw, was signed by the Steelers, along with Antoine Brooks, the sixth-round pick, the safety. Chase Claypool, of course, the second-round pick out of Notre Dame, the big receiver. And I just wonder, in seeing these rookies sign, and he goes along with Alex Highsmith as well, who was signed on Tuesday, the Steelers' third-round pick, the defensive end. We know that there's going to be no preseason games in the NFL this year. And that there's already been a limited offseason. The rookie minicamps haven't been the same. It's been a lot of Zoom meetings. There hasn't been a lot of hands-on stuff from the coaching staff to these rookies. Can we have any expectations for, well, really any of these guys, but in particular with Chase Claypool, who is, you know, the de facto first-round pick for the Steelers this year, and just being the first pick off the board for them? Can we have any legitimate expectations for 2020? I think it's going to take a while to develop a relationship with Ben Roethlisberger. Always does, really. But now, in this scenario, it'll have to be played out in game action that counts. I don't know if Ben is going to be all that willing to go to Chase Claypool in a situation in which he needs a play to be made in a game that counts whenever he hasn't really seen all that much of him. And so, maybe whenever he was first drafted and I was first starting to think about, okay, what can he actually provide next season, as soon as next season, and I'm not even talking about beyond, but just for next year, it was more of like, hey, if he can get over 500 yards and maybe four or five touchdowns, that would be fantastic. But I think as we go along here, you got to temper that a little bit. Maybe it's the 300 yards or 350 yards that you're looking for if you're going to throw a number on it. And 2 to 4 touchdowns. I think that would be a win at this point. I think we'll see him play a lot of special teams. That was one of the things that Mike Tomlin kept mentioning whenever he was first drafted. And something that Chase Claypool admitted to enjoying and doing well in college is playing special teams. So as a rookie, I'm sure we'll see a lot of that. But beyond that, I'm thinking maybe a red zone target, although Eric Ebron was brought in at the tight end position to fill that role as well, so probably even play second fiddle to that specialized role. And I don't know if he'll be much beyond that. Maybe he'll work the middle of the field. He did a lot of that at Notre Dame. And so 200 yards, 300 yards, maybe 350, I think is realistic. And 3 to 4 touchdowns. Maybe that's saying that he's not going to do a whole lot in 2020. Maybe that is what I'm saying, is that I don't expect him to do a whole lot. If he catches a few extra touchdown passes along the way, I think Chase Claypool will have served his purpose. And then finally, to start the show today, the AB drama, the AB saga, it just never ends. And you knew that. But Josh Rountree, our very own Josh Rountree of 93.7 The Fan, tweeted this out yesterday, I believe, and what he saw on Instagram. And it was something that he put out himself, basically admitting that his retirement is a publicity stunt for his new album. And it says, "Bro, for these asking my client, AB, he isn't actually retiring. He was gaining momentum to drop his soon-to-be Billboard number one album, #Himothy, whatever that means." And also, Antonio Brown continued on Instagram yesterday and calling out the league for just wanting to do something with the sexual assault and rape civil lawsuit that is against him right now on his former trainer, Brittany Taylor. "I have compiled with each and every ask of your investigations through the past 11 months, and you have had access to all of my phones. You know what the deal is in each and every situation that the media has distorted." And he's going on and on, saying that he's seen a therapist. He's seen everybody that he's asked him to, aspects of his life that have made him a better man because of it, blah, 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 blah. "And to resolve the investigations is completely unacceptable, and I demand you provide me clarity on this situation immediately if you really care about my well-being." So Antonio Brown isn't, in fact, retiring. Who knew? Well, I guess everybody knew. I guess we should just ignore everything he says until there is movement on these allegations and movement from the league. And yes, we knew that before. But again, it is another instance, another scenario in which he did that. And if he's cleared, he'll play and he'll find a home. I don't think there is any doubt about that, that he's going to find a team, because there's already been interest from Baltimore. There's already been interest from Seattle. He's working out with NFL players all the time. It's just a matter of if the league wants to move forward with this. And it is really interesting that the league is continuing to just ignore him for the most part. A great talent that they could really showcase, and he could make big plays and really provide much to the NFL product. And they just said, yeah, we see you out there. We are going to say that we care about your well-being. Roger Goodell said that at the Super Bowl. But we're not going to move forward with establishing or reestablishing your career. And now AB's getting a little fed up with it. So we'll see what the next step is in that process. All right, coming up next, some things you may have missed from yesterday in the sports world, including a very, very big contract in baseball. And then wrapping up the show today, lots of things to cover in Big Deal or No Big Deal. That's all next. As always, if you're up this early, you may have missed some things from yesterday. Let's do it.
Time now for While Yins Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
First bit of news is in the baseball world, and that is with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Many wondered whether Mookie Betts was even going to play a game for the Dodgers at one point, whenever they couldn't figure out if they were going to play a season in 2020. And then what his future was going to be beyond that. Well, the Dodgers answered that, and of course, come swooping in the big money team, the big market team, with a 12-year, $365 million contract. They'll have a press conference to make it official. Represents the largest amount of new money ever given to a player. Last spring, Mike Trout signed a 10-year, $360 million deal with the Los Angeles Angels, but that was a contract extension. This is all new money coming in for Mookie Betts and the LA Dodgers. 12 years, $365 million, and it always brings up for me, is it ever worth it? Is it ever worth it to sign a guy for 12 years at this price point? He's 27 years old right now, four-time Gold Glove winner, won the AL MVP in 2018. I know that he's got plenty of accolades to him, but I just don't know if anybody in general is ever going to finish those kinds of contracts. And at the end of those things in the last 3 to 4 years, say, yeah, we really got the best value from him in those last years. But if it doesn't matter, if he helps you win 3 or 4 World Series championships along the way, of course. But Mookie Betts getting paid big time by LA. In the NFL, we know that the Pittsburgh Steelers came out a couple weeks ago and said that we're not going to necessarily do away with the idea of having fans in the stands in the 2020 season. But if they are in the stands, they'll have to wear face masks. And now, no, not the same ones that the players are wearing on their helmets, but of course the face masks that we have come to know very well in this COVID-19 era. And now NFL teams and the NFL in general said one thing is clear. Everyone entering the stadium will be required to wear face coverings. So that is around the league. And there's been, you know, multiple teams that have said, you know, we're not going to go ahead and have fans this season. The Giants and the Jets, in particular, I saw in the last couple days, aren't going to have any fans. But across the league now, fans will have face masks on if they are in attendance, no matter how many are there at 30% capacity, 20% capacity, whatever. We could be seeing those as well this upcoming NFL season. In college football, the SEC, ACC, and the Big 12 are considering a +1 scheduling model, with the shortened 2020 season becoming just an inevitability, really, at this point. And this +1 model would be to have at least one non-conference game, to keep it to all Power 5 conferences, but having one being outside of the conference. That's still, you know, not something that is for sure, but something that those conferences are at least considering. And then finally, there is going to be big news in the NHL later as Seattle's NHL franchise will finally announce a team name. And that's according to a report from the Seattle Times that is coming through a conference scheduled for this morning, later on this morning. Maybe it'll break during the fan morning show, or if we know the fan morning show well, it'll break at 10:01 as soon as we're all off the air, of course. But there was a teaser video that came out from the NHL Seattle's Twitter account of, you know, a lot of fishing going on there. Not really sure what is happening. I guess they like caught like a siren, and that was, you know, in a net, and that was whenever it's, you know, saying that they're going to announce their team name. Whatever. But I'm all for the Seattle Sockeyes. That sounds great to me. That's got a lot of ring to it, and I think it would be really, really cool to have the Seattle Sockeyes. I know a Kraken is another one in a poll that did really well. Steelheads, Metropolitans, Totems, all out there for Seattle's NHL team, but I'm here for the Seattle Sockeyes. All right, coming up next, big deal or no big deal, going through some Pittsburgh narratives and storylines and determining whether or not we should be paying attention to them, including the Pirates' spring training record, which was beyond ugly. That's all next. It is the early morning show. I'm Matt Cole here with you for a few more minutes before the Fan Morning Show pre-show at 5:40. Fan Morning Show after that today, loaded up with guests today. 7:30, Allegheny County Executive Rich Fitzgerald will join the show to talk about, of course, the Toronto Blue Jays ending up being denied of playing here in Pittsburgh, their home games. That's at 7:30. 8 o'clock, Jason Mackey, Pirates insider, will join to actually preview a season that's going to start tomorrow for the Pirates. Then at 9 o'clock, Brian Billick, haven't caught up with him in a while. Always love his appearances from the NFL Network, excuse me. And then at 9:30, more NFL Network as insider Ian Rappaport joins the show. Plenty of things to talk about in the NFL and what's going on there. No preseason, the fallout from all of that, and of course, many decisions still coming up for the league to pull off a 2020 season. So all of those things coming your way on the Fan Morning Show after this. But first, let's do this.
Now it's time to play everybody's favorite sports game, Big Deal or No Big Deal.
All right, feel free to play along. As always, we'll roll through some topics, some storylines, some narratives here in Pittsburgh sports and determine if they're a big deal or no big deal. Here we go with the first one. The Pirates finished spring training 1.0 and 2.0, summer camp, whatever you want to call it, with a whopping combined record of 3-21. Big deal, no big deal here.
Not a big deal.
It's not, but man, that's hard to do, especially when the playing field is supposed to be even. Like, this isn't a triple-A team or a double-A team going against triple-A competition. I mean, that's a hard record to quote-unquote accomplish, 3-21, spring training or not. And I know spring training is supposed to be all about what you're working on and getting it ready for the year, and it's not about wins and losses because, guess what, they don't count, so I get it. That's why it's not a big deal. But there is a small part of me that wonders if this is some kind of gruesome sign of things to come for the 2020 season, this 3-21 record. Derek Holland gave up 2 earned runs on 5 hits, 2 strikeouts, and gave up a homer in 3 innings in an exhibition game against the Indians last night. Big deal or no big deal here?
Not a big deal.
It's not, because it's spring training. But Derek Holland also had some things to say after the game about maybe the media or people talking about the team in particular, but first about his start and his spring training overall.
Overall, I think everything's right where it needs to be heading into it. Again, like I said, I'm not going to worry about the results for this last game. The only thing that stands out to me is the contact, using the away side. You know, that's what people always talk about is I get beat away. Today, I thought we did a great job of mixing away, getting weak contact.
Okay.
Sometimes things don't go your way, but I think we did a great job today with that.
Oh, sorry, Derek. Okay, so he says, all right, don't look at my numbers. It's a lot better than you think. I'm working on some things. Whatever. But then he got a little bit feisty.
Trust me, I'm a big reader. I see what's going on. I've seen somebody, I'm not going to call out whoever it was, but somebody made a comment about me and Brault and somebody else telling us how this is a terrible rotation, ripping us apart. We love that. Please keep doing it. Keep ripping us apart. Keep telling us that you think we suck and all that. I love it.
Okay, a little bit more.
People aren't picking us to do anything, and I can tell you right now, that clubhouse loves that mentality right now. Loves that nobody wants us to win. Nobody's picking us to win. We're going to go out there, and we're going to do everything we can each game to give the fans what they deserve.
Okay, I respect the edge, the chip on the shoulder, the underdog attitude. I'm all for that. I'll be honest, though. Holland does scare me in that rotation. I'll jump on the bandwagon of doubt and uncertainty, I guess, if that's what he's looking for. Derek Shelton said that he has officially landed a spot in the rotation. Derek Holland has. And it's hard not to have doubts when his career ERA has pretty much ballooned every year since 2013 when he was very serviceable for a very, very good Texas Rangers team. I don't see a whole lot there from Derek Holland, I'll be real honest with you. If he's a 4 or 5 starter, whatever, regardless. Hopefully I'm wrong, but I don't expect a whole lot from Derek Holland this year. All right, next. Turns out Pirates presumed closer Keone Kella was just quarantining after a positive COVID-19 test after all. Big deal or no big deal here?
Big deal!
Yeah, Derek Shelton commented on Keone Kella yesterday.
I mean, he continues to be a good teammate. I know he's reaching out to his teammates and talking to him and excited to have him back when the protocol works out. But can't say enough about how he's been in terms of his conversations with me, his conversations with Oscar, and the type of teammate he's been in terms of his conversations with our players.
And given Kella's history, we were left speculating about really a lot of things with him. And especially after that post of him on his Instagram shooting guns somewhere instead of being at camp. And, you know, the hope was that he was actually quarantining, but we weren't really quite sure. And the hope is that Kella will settle down a little bit with a new staff and will keep everything on the straight and narrow on a free agent year. I'm thinking that he'll be like that once he actually returns from the quarantine and gets back into team activities, and maybe the Bucks can benefit from that. He's clearly, we know this even from spring training, and we knew this coming into the season, clearly their best reliever when he's there. Kyle Crick gave up another homer last night against Cleveland in the exhibition game, so maybe this is the last of the controversy surrounding him. We can all hope that this is the last of the controversy surrounding him. Sidney Crosby, speaking of controversy, even though, you know, he's not a very controversial person, but he was actually seen at Penguins practice yesterday. Big deal or no big deal?
Big deal!
Yes, a Sidney Crosby appearance. It seems like more of a maintenance thing at this point. We know it's not COVID, it's not quarantine. Maybe it's just the old abundance of caution with him. Again, no word on what's actually going on there. And if it's anything really serious, and it also brought up a question for me in looking ahead to Tuesday in an exhibition game against the Flyers before the playoff series against Montreal starts up. Is it worth playing him at all on Tuesday? What if someone gets hurt in that game? How much are the regulars actually going to play in that game? How much should they play in that game? I wouldn't think a whole lot, really. All right, couple more here before I wrap up. Ryan Switzer said that he's going to be one of the best slot receivers in the NFL this year. Big deal or no big deal?
Not a big deal.
Yeah, apparently he mentioned guys like Julian Edelman and Cole Beasley, saying he was going to be like them. He's got a lot to prove and a long way to go before he's that. I mean, the catch and drop maneuver has been his signature so far. But he's got this going for him. Ben loves him, and he may just make the team because of it. And maybe given, you know, extra opportunities to do so because of it. So I'm not going to rule it completely out of the question. I'm not talking about Julian Edelman, but to at least be a serviceable slot receiver. We'll see. And then finally, speaking of Ben Roethlisberger, he was seen yesterday as well. And he was looking very slim and trim. Big deal, no big deal.
Big
Big Deal.
Ben is stiff-arming all the fat shamers with one video appearance at a time. He looked great with the food distribution through the Farmers to Families program and the Convoy of Hope in Newcastle yesterday, saying hi to the people, walking around, looking skinny, looking fit. Who knows what that arm is going to be like, but we know his physical stature, that he's looking A-OK so far this offseason. Let's finish up with this.
On in 40 seconds. One last 40-second take to send you into the rest of the morning on the Early Morning Show. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
Major League Baseball officially begins what will be an unprecedented 60-game season later today. Yankees-Nats at 7, Giants-Dodgers at 10. This season is so weird it doesn't even have any day games to begin the season. Gerrit Cole and Max Scherzer tonight, and it will represent a rejoicing. A finally from so many people, including me, that major team sports are back. And we've got it to hold on to for, well, as long as we can. And I think we've developed a deeper appreciation for sports after they were taken away. And sitting down to watch a pitcher, mostly dominate, I'm sure, in pinstripes, that once wore a Pirates uniform, may just feel like normal later on today. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet and McMurray. The sun is shining on budget-friendly deals with 32 new and used vehicles under $19,996. Today, humid, times of sun and clouds, a couple of showers this afternoon and a high of 83, and then tonight, an evening shower or thunderstorm around and a low of 69. Pre-show, it's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.